Good morning.
That loud? All right. My name is Sean. I am a partner here at The Dwelling, and we just wanted to welcome you all here this morning. If you are new, there are these connection cards on the seat. You can fill those out. Give us your information. We promise we won't sell it to anybody. We just want to be able to connect with you and help you take your next steps. We also have a gift for you out front. You can take the cards out there, excuse me, out there if you want, or you can throw them in the joy boxes. But we would love to get to know you. We are a church that wants to love on our community, and so we are partnering with the Carson City School District to get gift cards to help families in need during this time. Anywhere from $20 to $100 from grocery stores, from gas stations, Walmart, Target, wherever you want to do. That just helps us to be able to help them in the time of need. There is a basket over there on the table where you can drop those cards. They'll be here the next couple of Sundays. Perfect. Also, there are journals over there. If you would like, if you're a note taker like me, you might want to write things down as you listen to the message. There are journals over there. And we are a church that believes that giving is an act of worship. And when you give, we're able to do things here like the movie night that we had a couple weeks ago, or the different classes or things that we do on a Sunday. And so if you are ready to give, again, the joy boxes on the side or the back, or you can do it online on the website, or you can use our app. So here at The Dwelling, we like to have reverence for God's word. So if you would please stand with me, we're going to read from Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, "Judge not, that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." This is the word of the Lord.
You can have a seat. Good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It's good to be with you. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Michael, one of the pastors here at The Dwelling. Before I forget, if you want your communion elements, we do communion every Sunday here at The Dwelling. There is a box over there. You can grab them at any point. I won't be offended if you get up to do that. But we like to do this every Sunday. If you forget or just want to sit, that's fine too. We'll have somebody coming around later with that. But I like to just make sure that's there so you know what's coming up in our service this morning. There is an interesting tension with the concept of judgment in our world, isn't there? The J word, if you want to call it, right? There is an interesting kind of this weird tension that this word, judgment, is kind of a filthy word, right? That whether you're in the church or outside of the church, we don't really like to talk about this idea of judgment, right? I think of the Terminator, right? I think of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Judgment Day, right? But isn't it interesting how even people who don't even believe in the Bible or go to church, man, boy, do they like to throw out this passage this morning sometimes when it comes to this idea of judgment about taking the plank out of the eye, right, or the speck out of the eye and that whole bit. But yet, it is a word, it is an idea that we absolutely need to talk about. Now, there's a lot that goes with that, and we're going to try to unpack this morning. But in essence, this idea of judgment, I think the reason why it's maybe such a hard word to talk about, or the idea, because we don't like when somebody comes up against us and calls us out for something that we did or didn't do, right? It's not exactly a fun feeling to have a judgment placed on us, and of course, we do it all the time when we place judgments on other people, right? We hear things like, you know, don't tell me how to live my life, right? I hear that. I heard that from my kids when they were, like, really young. I'm like, are you kidding me? How do you know how to say this already? You're like single digits. You're not even double digits yet. Yet it's a reality, right? It's just something that's almost like built into us. Or maybe it's a result of the fall. I don't know, where we just have this propensity to want to come up against this idea. But we live in a culture right now, right, where this idea of judgment very much has a polarizing kind of almost this explosive, reactive nature to it, because we live in a culture that just says, let me do my thing as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, right? You do you, I'll do me, right? And as long as it's not getting in the way, then we're good. But when we really look into this morning what Jesus is saying, first and foremost, he's kind of coming up against that a little bit. But at the same time, he has some other very profound things to say about it too. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How many of you have ever been wrongly judged by somebody? I'll raise my hand, right? That's a thing. It's a reality. We've been wrongly judged, or somebody made a judgment about us and then they were totally off, or maybe you made a judgment about somebody else and you were totally off, right? Let me tell you, when you grow up and you go and you're in the public school, okay, if you're a public school kid, that's going to happen, right? There's just an all sorts of kids and people from different walks of life, and sometimes we just make those judgments, and we've done that, and it feels horrible to be judged, doesn't it? It feels bad to be judged. It's no secret that I think this theme alone is a reason why, probably the number one reason, why many people have a hard time even coming to church, right? Because there is that narrative, right, that drives people away sometimes that, oh man, Christians, they're just so judgmental, right? They're just so judgy. And sometimes that's a bad rap, and sometimes it's true. You know, and we'll see this morning where Jesus actually says to his listeners, judge not, yet lest you be judged. And then at the very end, we see him say, you hypocrites, right? Another filthy word, the H word. I don't know why I'm doing that. But we are going through, and here's why I start the way I do. If you haven't been with us for a little while, we've been in this journey through the Sermon on the Mount, which is basically Jesus' greatest writings, greatest sayings, greatest sermons. He was by far the best preacher of all time. I can't even compare. And yet he had some very profound things to say to his listeners, not just because it was relevant for the culture of the day, but because he wanted to initiate and pronounce the things of God's kingdom that were coming into view. The things that we actually must listen to and adhere to if we want to experience the kingdom life that God has. Because it's not just in the future when we go into heaven, as we would say. It's in the here and now. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom is what? At hand. Not in the future. It's at hand. And so we have to adhere to these words this morning about what he wants for us in this life, in the here and now. Before we do that, let's pray and ask God to speak to us this morning. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this place. And for the people that are here this morning, for myself included, I pray you will open our hearts and our minds to your word and what you have to say to us. That you would just wash over us with your grace and your love this morning. And if there's areas of our hearts and our lives and our minds that we need to repent of, we need to ask for forgiveness, God, I pray you will just make that aware as well. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Trust you with that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the very first verse, he says, judge not lest you be judged. Right? So if we take this verse, and really the next couple verses, there's five in total. If you take the first few, like in and of themselves, it's easy to look at Jesus as like this peace, love, and hippie, right, that doesn't really care about consequence or authority. And that's not the case. Not the case at all. But if we do take this first verse in and of itself, right, we have to we might misunderstand what Jesus is trying to say, right? Exactly what does Jesus mean when he says, do not judge or you too will be judged? Does that mean that we can't make any judgments at all ever? That we can't have a standard, or, you know, that we can't use discernment when we make decisions and make choices in our lives? Or does that mean that we literally have to actually have discernment because there is a consequence for our choices and our decisions? So let's put this to the test, okay? Here's a little case study. So if you have a child who is, you know, about to turn 18 and all of a sudden they come to you and they say, Dad, obviously that's me, not real at all, I swear. They say, Dad, I want to get a tattoo of my boyfriend and I want to get it right here on my neck. Do I have the right as a parent to use judgment on my child to say that is a terrible decision? Uh-huh. Yes, I do. Just telling you right now in case you didn't know. Right? So let's kind of take this a little bit further, right? If somebody goes to a store and says, I'm going to take this and I'm not going to pay for it and I'm going to walk out and you're going to let me because what is authority? What is consequence at all? Right? There should be no judgment. Don't judge me, because there shouldn't be judgment. Should the authorities have the right to express judgment upon that person for what they did? Yes. Right? Otherwise, there's chaos. Right? Otherwise, we just live in this chaos. So if we take this face value, right? Judge not lest you be judged. Jesus is not saying there is no room for judgment at all. Right? We have to get that out of the way now. Okay? So Jesus is not saying that there isn't consequence. There isn't the ability and room for judgment within our lives. So what is he saying then, right? What is Jesus really saying to us with this first verse? I think that all of us on some level would agree that each and every one of us have the ability and the right to make judgments, right? Whether that's a personal judgment or just a general judgment about something, we have that ability to do that, right? So if that is the case, then what is Jesus really saying? What if some random guy walked in, right, and threatened you? You should definitely have the ability to defend yourself or call the authorities and make a decision. So what is Jesus saying to us? We cannot read Scripture in a vacuum. That's the first thing this morning. Now you're like, a vacuum? What do you mean by that? It's easy for us sometimes to look at Scripture, to take specific verses and isolate that verse by itself, and then make a declaration off of that verse to say, this is what that means. So that first verse, if we say, judge not, Jesus says, don't judge. It's easy for us to just take that one verse and say, okay, well, guess what? We can't be judgy people. Like, we shouldn't be able to make judgments, right? But we cannot read Scripture in a vacuum. And what that means is, isolating that verse just to that one piece of truth in that moment. But here's the deal. We must read this in light of everything else going on. And again, if you haven't been with us, then you know, it's going to be a little tough to do that. But let me just kind of give you a little bit of unpacking that right now. The last chapter, the entire chapter of 6, which was last week and the weeks before that, Jesus was calling out the leaders of the church, the leaders of the Jewish faith, and said, you hypocrites, you do this, and it should be this. Last time I checked, that's a pretty good judgment on Jesus' part, right? Multiple times, Jesus is calling the religious leaders hypocrites. You hypocrites, like, you are doing this wrong. You call these people to live this way, and yet you're doing this. How could they do this if you're doing this? How could they take you seriously if you're not doing that as well, right? So there is a judgment to be made there, and Jesus is calling out and he's railing on the Pharisees' hypocrisy in this moment. In verse 2, verse 5, verse 16, he's talking about their hypocrisy. So we get to chapter 7 now. In light of that, when Jesus says, do not judge, but then later on in the same chapter, he says things like, watch out, be on your guard, be aware of false prophets. Well, that's a judgment. That is a judgment on Jesus' behalf. But wait, how does that work if I'm not allowed to judge at all, right? But he says, we are to test this and judge those who seem to be a false prophet, somebody who is not representing God the way they should. The entire Old Testament, if you were to actually take time, we're not going to, just so you know, if you were to actually look through the whole Old Testament, you would see judgment after judgment after judgment that the prophets were making, but it was on the people of God themselves. It wasn't the world necessarily, it was the people of God themselves. John 7:24, Jesus says this, stop judging by mere appearance, but instead judge correctly. Well, that's kind of a contradiction, it seems like, right? Judge correctly, he says. And then John echoes this later in 1 John 4:1. He says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. So we are to make those judgments, okay? So moving forward in this, Jesus is kind of, he starts to elaborate on what he's really trying to say. So verse 2, he says this, the measure you use will be the measure you get. That's my paraphrase of it. That's not exactly what it says here, but that's what he's saying. The measure you use against somebody will be the measure you get. This is a play on words by Jesus. It's to take us back to the part of the sermon where he says some very profound things. He says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Right? It's not a prove it statement that, oh, we must earn our way or prove our way to God. But it's Jesus' kind of creative play on words to remind us of what he's saying in that moment. This creative way of saying the opposite to drive it home. And this is really what he's saying here. And this is a huge point for us this morning. The degree to which we understand God's mercy and forgiveness that we have received will determine the posture of our hearts and our propensity to actually extend that mercy to others rather than judgment. Because the Bible tells us that because of God's great mercy, he lavished on us his mercy and his grace even when we didn't deserve it. And he gave us his son so that we could be free, so that we could live for him and be free from this sin and this death that can come about in our lives. In other words, to fall into a consistent pattern of judgment that we make upon people will actually prevent us from actually being true members of the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. That's a bold statement. That's a tough pill to swallow. That doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes, but what he's saying here is if the MO of our lives, right, if our default is to constantly project judgment upon people for the way they live, for who they are, whether it's warranted or not, ultimately will prevent us from living the kingdom life that we can have in the here and now, because it robs us of our joy, it robs us of our peace, and it robs us of the love and compassion that we can have for those around us, even if they don't think or talk or act like us. That's what Jesus is getting at here. And really, at fault is a person who makes himself and his way of doing things the standard, right? As if we know what's best. As if our standard, the way we live, is the ultimate standard that we should abide by, right? That, like, we're playing, like, it's almost like we're playing God, as if we know better. Rich Viotis, he's a pastor in New York, he said this along the same vein. Jesus is saying that the thing that makes his followers different from the rest of the world is our refusal to play God in somebody else's life. Oof. We all know the words, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. That's not true, right? Let's be honest. I mean, sticks and stones will break my bones for sure. That's true. But words do hurt, don't they? Words do hurt. And I think we can all recall a time maybe when somebody spoke words of judgment upon our lives, and that impacted us, right? Words of discouragement or condemnation or just judgment upon us when they didn't even really maybe know us. And yet the power of those words stuck with us. And maybe even to this day, those words still affect you and impact me, right? But scriptures tell us that the words have the power of life and death, and many of us can understand that. So when we think about our words and the judgments that we can make upon people, we have to remember that that can make that a lasting impression upon people's lives, the judgments that we make, right? Whether we think somebody is too far gone to ever be reached by Jesus, right? Their lifestyle, the way they live, there's no way God could ever get a hold of their lives. And that's just not true. Nobody is too far from God. Isn't it good news, church, that the kingdom of God tells us that no one ever has the ability to speak a final word over your life for that to be the truth? Isn't that good news? That is very good news. Because many of us have had really poor experiences with people that were detrimental to us. But nobody ever has the ability to speak a final word over our lives. Now, some of us are maybe on the giving end of that, not just the receiving end of that, right? And maybe there's this thing that God wants to reveal in your heart and your mind this morning of a judgment that you placed upon somebody else. And how that judgment is not only impacting them, but it's impacting you in the process, right? And that could be verbal. Or that could be nonverbal, right? Some of us make judgments in our hearts about people and don't even speak it out, and we don't have to. But we make these judgments in our hearts, right? Maybe it's somebody who believes differently than you, right? Or votes differently than you. Ooh, you had to go there, Michael. Right? Maybe it's somebody who wears a certain color hat, if you get my drift. Or somebody who goes to a certain type of parade in June. You also get my drift. No matter what, no matter where everybody's coming from, we do not get to be the judge in somebody's life. That's God's place. That's God's job. I want to read a little example here, a little story that really resonated with me in this idea of the judgments that we place upon people. There was a rough and tumble biker who once left a note on the window of an SUV in a parking lot, and it read this: "To the family in the red SUV at Tim Hortons today, yes, I am a big 280-pound guy with motorcycles and tattoos. I am a welder. I am loud. I drink beer. I swear. And I look like I would eat your soul if you stared at me wrong. What you don't know is that I have been happily married for 11 years. My kids call me daddy, and I'm a college graduate. My mother is proud of me, and she tells me how lucky she is to have such a wonderful son. My nieces and nephews are always happy to see their uncle, and when my daughter broke her arm, I cried more than she did. I read books, I help people, I go out of my way to thank war veterans, and I even cried at the movie Armageddon." I can attest to that one too. The kids are like, "What? What again?" So the next time I smile and I say hi to your little girl and you grab her and tell her, "No, no, dear, we don't talk to dirty bikers. Remember that even though you hurt my feelings, this dirty biker would be the first person to run into your burning house to save your little girls and your goldfish. So don't be sad." That's a true story. And I only add that in, right, to kind of bring the point home that we just never know where somebody's at, and we can never be the one to bring a final judgment upon somebody. And of course, we're talking when it comes to the kingdom of God, that God can reach anybody where they're at. Nobody's ever too far away for God to work in their lives. Let's keep moving. So verses 3-5, Jesus has this really fun illustration, if you will, and it's not by accident that Jesus uses this, because he was a carpenter, right? So if anybody understands this, it's him, okay? So he goes on to say, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase what you see on the screen there, pay no attention to the plank in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. Right? So the big theme we're seeing here, right, is this teaching from Jesus is almost not even so much judgment as it is hypocrisy. Right? So he says, you hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly. To do what? Well, to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So Jesus is not saying to us this morning that it is wrong for us to make judgments upon people and actually speak out those things, but there is a way to go about doing it. And there is a posture we are to have, right? So he never says that we aren't to help our fellow brothers and sisters, Christians, remove the speck from their eye. But it is the wrong way to do it if we already have a plank in our own eye still. If we have something going on in our own lives that is unchecked, where it's very obvious, and even people know about it, that there's easily a judgment that can be placed upon us because of our actions and our attitudes, and yet we are completely ignoring those things to go and make a judgment upon somebody else, that's when there is an error of our ways. Does that make sense? There is a judgment to be made, but there is a way to go about doing it. It is hypocrisy, as Jesus calls it, if we make that judgment when there could easily be a judgment upon us, ourselves. And let's be honest, we like to focus on the external with others, right, than our own things. But Jesus is inviting us, and this is a key thing for us this morning, Jesus is inviting each and every one of us into a new way of living, a life of self-reflection and in turn maturation. That word maturation, right? The idea of growing and maturing, becoming mature in our faith, not immature. This is the healthy process of judgment that Jesus is talking about. So that's why when I'm up here teaching on Sundays, I usually pray that prayer in the very beginning. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. The reason why I pray that is because, boy, do I not want to have any error of way up here when I'm preaching and teaching. That I want to make sure that I am honoring God with my lips and my heart before I get up here or when I get up here to do that. But this J word, as we're talking this morning, right? I call it the J word, judgment, has the ability to actually be a beautifully redemptive word in our lives if we let it. Judgment has a place for us if it's understood in the right manner. As Jesus says in verse 5, right? It works best if we have already implemented a rhythm of self-reflection in our lives on a regular basis, right? Because what happens is when we have this self-reflection, we are able to what? Do what Jesus says. Take the plank out of our own eye. The more we are aware of the things going on with ourselves, right? The better position we are in to actually handle other things the right way, to handle relationships and different things and different situations in the right manner. He's talking about a life-giving yet often difficult process that we must put ourselves into if we were to experience the kingdom life in the here and now. But I think our third thing for this morning that's probably most crucial for us to understand is this. There is a difference between making judgments and being judgmental. Right? There is a difference between making judgments and having judgmentalism as kind of our MO, as our default. But we are called to bring about, if anything, within the body of Christ, within the church, this ability to handle situations in a healthy manner. But we are not the judge, especially the judge of the world. That's God's role. And notice what Jesus says here. He says, once you have taken the plank out of your own eye, then you can help your brother remove the speck from his own eye. Well, Jesus' language there is very interesting. He says brother, and he can also even, you can add sister into there. But the implications of that is this. He's talking about those within the body of Christ, those who claim to be followers of Jesus, not the world. The world has a totally different standard because they don't believe in God. They don't believe in the ways of Jesus. So we don't judge them based on the same thing. But he says, when we have taken the plank out of our own eye, then we can actually go and help our brother and our sister with what they have going on. So he's referring to those who are within the church, within in the body of Christ, those who are following after Jesus. And I think there's one last thing I want to make a note of here in this imagery. He calls the thing lodged in our own eye what? A plank, right? Now, we may not know what a plank is, but it's probably like, again, this is imagery Jesus is using to make a point, right? He's literally imagining like a big piece of wood sticking out of your eye, right? That's what we have. But isn't it interesting that he calls what is in somebody else's eye a speck? He calls ours a plank and he calls theirs a speck. It's as if Jesus is trying to help us see the picture that for us, the thing that matters more is the thing that we have going on in our own life before we can even do anything about what other people are going through. And it gives us this ability to have perspective, right? We all need perspective sometimes to recognize that somebody else's thing is not as big as of your thing that you must deal with God. So Jesus says, once you have taken out, you will see clearly, and then you can help your brother with what he has going on. Love often displays itself by speaking truth with humility. And this is the last thing that we're gonna say about this. Again, it doesn't mean that we aren't to make judgments, but we must be willing to handle it in the right way. Man, so many of us, we remove ourselves from certain situations to make it impersonal so that we can really be vindictive towards somebody, right? Or bring this condemnation towards somebody and contempt upon their life. But when we bring ourselves into proximity with the people around us who maybe have things that we need to speak into, it makes things personal, and it gives us the ability to not only speak truth in love, but with humility and compassion. When truth and love is together, when humility and compassion are accompanied with that truth, it is a beautifully powerful thing and a redemptive thing. Because it doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't have standards, that there isn't a standard for the kingdom. And if anything, we are called to show the world how we are to engage with each other and to relate to each other and to speak into each other's lives in such a way that actually brings life. Boy, I sure hope that for those who are close in my life, if there is an air of way that I have in me that I am not aware of, I would pray to God that this person or these people that are in my life would have the courage, the love, and the humility to speak into those things so that I can change the air of my ways. And I hope and pray that you would want that for yourself as well, because that is the only way that we can grow and find this life that is truly life. I want to end with this. Spending enough time with God to reveal things in your own heart must come before we speak on behalf of others. Are you spending enough time with God to actually reveal those things? And then secondarily, are you in a community of followers of Jesus that have the place to speak into your life? So we're gonna close with this. Two things that I want to encourage you with this morning to consider. First is this: develop a rhythm of self-examination. What I mean by that is, of course, spending enough time in stillness and quiet with God. We're busy people, aren't we? We're distracted, noisy people. Have you carved out that time enough to where you can be in God's presence to reveal the things that are in your heart? To reveal the things that are in your life that are detrimental to you in the process. So develop a rhythm of self-examination. That also includes what I just said, considering being a part of a community, a small group community, which we have them here at The Dwelling. They are going to be launching fairly soon as we move into the fall semester. And then the second is this: stay curious. Stay curious. And what I mean by that is this: are you making final judgments upon people's lives that you're not even aware of? Or maybe you are aware of and you have just chosen to do that. But are you willing to be curious about where people are coming from, hearing their stories, putting yourself in their shoes? It doesn't mean you don't have a standard or that there isn't a standard of truth. But how are we ever going to put ourselves in a place to speak into people's lives the truth of God, of who God is, if we aren't willing to have a curiosity and a compassion for where people are coming from, no matter what it is? So stay curious. We're going to go into our time of communion together. And I want to share a passage that I think really brings this home and kind of ties in very nicely with what we're talking about this morning. But the reason why we can speak so confidently and so boldly about what we're talking about and what Jesus said this morning is because not only of what Jesus said, but because of what Jesus did in light of what he said. Jesus absorbed all the punishment that there ever could be for the sin and the death that is in this world. He absorbed it all on the cross. That Jesus absorbed that punishment on our behalf. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the good part of this. Is that when we trust in Jesus, when we surrender our lives, when we take up our cross in the sense of identifying with Jesus and who he is and what he did, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I just read the verse without actually reading it, right? Romans 8, 1 to 2, Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Isn't that good news, church? That is such good news. That the words of judgment that are placed upon us don't have to have the final say. That we can experience his life in the here and now and for eternity. Praise God for that. That Jesus absorbed all of the judgment on our behalf. This little cup, not really this cup, literally, but what this cup represents reminds us of that. That when he went to his death, he died a physical death. His body died. It was sacrificed for us. He said, eat this in remembrance of that fact. So let's go ahead and do that together. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus is the forgiveness of sin. It is the appeasement of God's wrath, which is a really crazy thing to think about. But that's what this is, that we can have peace, we can have joy, we can have reconciliation to God because of his blood. Let's go ahead and take this together as well. We're really glad that you chose to spend your Sunday with us. I feel like we just kind of scratched the surface on this whole entire conversation this morning. But my hope and prayer is that, you know, God would speak the way he wants to speak in your life. Only God searches hearts and knows the things that are in here and in here. But God is willing to do work with you and loves you deeply in spite of it all. That's the good news. We're going to respond in a time of worship in song. But if you need prayer afterwards, we'll have people up here for prayer. We would love for you to come up. They would love to pray with you. But may God fill you with his peace this morning, knowing that he has absorbed it all for you. Let's pray. God, thank you for this moment. Thank you for this place. We thank you that you absorbed the judgment on our behalf. But even beyond that, God, we thank you that you gave us a way to live in freedom, live in such a life-giving way That isn't necessarily easy, but it is the way. To first evaluate ourselves, if there's any error of way in us, and then from that, giving us the ability to speak truth in love to our brothers and sisters around us that we share life with, that we would have humility and compassion, but that we would still have the courage to speak truth into people's lives when they need it. If any of us are going down a path of destruction and death, God, bring people into our lives that would have the courage to speak into that, to stop us in our tracks. May we give glory to you in all that we say and do, God. We trust you with that. In Jesus' name, amen.